A Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Now, it's time for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here, we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week, we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Call in between 12:30 and 1 p.m. on Sundays and present your case to our experts. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now, our host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
The Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic is on, and we thank you for listening. Today, we're tackling gout with guest expert Dr. Harris McElwain of the Tampa Medical Group in Tampa, Florida. But first, this radio show and the free annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium, now the largest in the country with over 1,000 women during each of our last two events with a combined 7,500 hours of education during these 2 days, is supported by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive, dynamic, community-based healthcare safety net making you an expert on your personal medical needs. The result? Better partnering with your existing doctor, leading to more effective office visits, faster results, and a reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. We save lives and protect families through the immediate impact of direct with the expert health education. And before we begin today's show, I want to add that each of you listening today can read educational articles which now appear in every issue of the Tampa Bay Women's Newspaper. The Tampa Bay Women's Newspaper is free and may be found at over 3,000 Tampa Bay area locations such as medical offices, health clubs, specialty organic grocery stores, hair and beauty salons. The articles are educational, informational, and resourceful, and I know you all will enjoy it. Today, the topic is gout. And our expert, Dr. Harris McElwain, who is a board-certified rheumatologist and geriatric medicine specialist with the Tampa Medical Group, one of the largest rheumatology practices in Florida. Harris has written 26 health books, including Diet for a Pain-Free Life, The Fibromyalgia Handbook, Reversing Osteopenia, Pain-Free Arthritis, and Pain-Free Back. He is the father of 6 children, 2 daughters, Dr. Laura Cruz and Dr. Kimberly Smith, both rheumatologists. His son, Dr. Michael McElwain, is a pediatric dentist, and daughter Gina McElwain is a chef graduating from Le Cordon Bleu. He also coaches youth soccer, including a national championship team. Well, I enjoy talking to you about soccer after the show, but for now, Harris, let's concentrate on gout. And gout is considered, it's interesting because gout is, and actually we could look at through history, some very well-recognized names had gout, such as King Henry VIII, Louis XIV of France, Presidents Thomas Jefferson, Teddy Roosevelt, as well as Leonardo Da Vinci, Isaac Newton, Benjamin Franklin. How come there are no women in that group?
Well, Steve, gout does happen in women, although it's much more common in men, especially before the age of 65 or so. It's caused by a high uric acid level in the blood. Uric acid being something the body normally makes when it breaks down protein, but some people just genetically create too much uric acid, or they don't excrete enough through their kidneys. It builds up over the years, and then eventually uric acid, for reasons we don't really know, likes to concentrate around joints and in the kidney. So occasionally it will cause some really severe pain and swelling and redness in the joints, or sometimes kidney stones. The joints that are most commonly affected are the big toe, which is famous, but it can really affect other joints too, the foot, the ankle, the knee, the wrist, and some other less common. But anyone who has had gout knows it's terrible. It completely takes you out. You can't walk. The stories are that the sheets on the bed hurt to even touch your foot. It can be terrible.
Well, why is there some genetic predisposition which is related to the Y chromosome, or for that matter, lacking a second X chromosome predisposes men to getting this condition?
In the sense that it's more common in males, yes. And the problem is the metabolism is set differently so that the uric acid builds up. The good thing is that it's very treatable, especially with the newer medications, so that gout is one problem and one type of arthritis which you don't really have to have.
Well, tell us, how do you make the diagnosis first off? Obviously, many things can cause arthritis and inflamed joint. How do you narrow down the differential diagnosis and hone in on gout?
The most accurate way to diagnose it 100% correctly is to take a very small needle, take a little bit of fluid from the joint, whether it's the knee, the ankle, the foot, the toe, and we look under a special microscope and we can actually see uric acid crystals. That makes the diagnosis. Now, more recently, these attacks are so typical that the rheumatologists in the United States and UK agree that if a person comes to you with redness, pain, swelling in the big toe or the knee, and it looks just like gout, and the uric acid level in the blood is high, then it's about an 85% chance that it's gout. And we recommend that it gets treated as gout and go ahead and start the medications to prevent it from ever coming back again.
Okay, so if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, then it's a duck.
Exactly.
And of course, in that case, the scenario you presented, you have serologic evidence of elevated uric acid.
Correct.
Now, does gout usually present as a single joint inflammation, or can it present as a polyarticular or multiple joints inflamed at the same time?
The most common situation is one joint, and most famously the big toe or the foot, and that's why you see the pictures from people 400 years ago and the kings in France and England with their foot up drinking a bottle of wine. And the reason is that the gout does go away even if you don't treat it. The saying was in England that the gout goes away in 40 days. But the problem is it can come back, and the more often it comes back, the more likely that permanent change begins to happen.
Okay, and with us today in studio is the host of the show, the SOS Computer Talk, Sean O, who is with us to share his personal experience with gout. Sean O, and by the way, Sonia, I know you're on the line. We'll come to you in a couple of minutes, so hang in there. Sean O, would you like to share with us your experience with this disease?
Miserable. Just one word, miserable. Of course, I've had a lot of activity when I was a teenager. I was a martial artist, and I had a lot of injuries and bone breaks and whatnot and falls and whatnot, and I thought that's what it was caused by. It was so bad, I was almost in tears. I couldn't walk. My foot would swell up about the size of a – and just like was explained, the toe got red, and I saw the toe actually turn in. I thought, wow, that's strange. I've never seen that before. And then just touching it just set me on fire. And the gout would last for about four or five different days and go away, but every time I came back, it stayed longer, and there were more attacks. So I ended up going to a specialist and taking some medication, and it seemed like medication didn't work, and I think it was because the foods were eating. And I've discovered some of the foods, especially the ones that have sweeteners in them, would cause the attack. Now, that's my opinion.
Right.
I was drinking a lot of diet soda at that time, and the more diet soda I drank, the more attacks came on. So I figured, I'll just stop drinking that diet soda. But I am a peanut butter lover. I love peanut butter. Okay. No, my name's not Elvis. I just like peanut butter. And that would bring it on. So I'm finding that there are certain foods for me that would cause it. So they put me on medication, and please help me with it. I think one of them is called allopurinol.
Mm-hmm.
Another one starts with a C.
Colchicine.
And the colchicine makes me sick. Very, very sick. And so I would put up with the sickness just for the pain to go away. I mean, I couldn't sleep at night. I put my foot up and I was in pain.
Well, I'd like to go back a little bit. It sounds like you were very active when you were young. How old are you now?
I'm a young age.
All right, young age. And when?
Let's say over 40 now.
Okay, all right. When did what turned out to be gout begin?
It started I would say 5 years ago. I was very active in running and walking, and every time I would, a couple of days later, my toe would hurt like. You wouldn't believe
always
that would
the
go
same,
away.
But always this when it came always, back, it was the same toe.
Always the same toe would go away, okay. And I thought, well, maybe that's because of the shoes I'm wearing, or because I was doing this race walking stuff about 10 miles every day.
Okay.
So I figured I was wearing the wrong kind of shoes, and that was causing it. But then when I wasn't doing it would come on, and I couldn't figure out what it was until one day I had the real attack.
Okay.
What I mean by the real attack. Mm-hmm. Redness swole up like the size of a cantaloupe.
Wow.
And it did scare me. I couldn't figure out what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I have a control on it or not, but I haven't had an attack now. I think I'm going on about 2.5-3 months now.
Okay.
I'm not taking the allopurinol every day. There's some concerns, and I guess I would ask anybody that's taken it or anybody that has knowledge about the medicine how dangerous it really is. I've heard problems with kidneys and heart problems, but I continue on a continued basis.
We'll get to that. Harris, by the way, you had elevated levels of uric acid in your blood?
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
you did say that. Did you say there was fluid that was extracted or aspirated and analyzed under the microscope? Or?
Yes, that was sticking that needle in there was, tell me, was very, very, very
and
painful.
And that was in the toe?
Yes.
Okay.
Between the joint, I guess, is what they do. And you don't expect that. Even though if they anesthetize it, it hurts. It hurts.
Right.
I'm not. I can put up with pain.
Yeah.
Because I used to fight, but I can't. That was something different.
All right, so we got the diagnosis. Harris, would you weigh in? What's the thinking as far as risk factors for this disease, and what's the present thinking as far as diet and other risk factors?
Well, the current situation is that most, if you look at 100 patients that have gout, the most common situation is that they're guys. Some drink alcohol. Some have a family history, so they're a brother or father or some other members of the family have gout. Because remember, there's some genetic predisposition to the way you handle uric acid. And the problem is it comes on suddenly, and what a great description. It just takes you out. You really can't work. You really can't do anything. You can't put weight on that joint, and it lasts until the attack's over. The problem is it just keeps coming back exactly as you described. A little bit more often each time. Instead of being 1 or 2 years apart, they begin to be 1 year apart, then a few months apart, and it actually can become constant.
What causes the attack to spontaneously resolve after so many days?
It's thought that the body just eventually takes care of the inflammation. The uric acid crystals stimulate a really intense inflammatory response, and then if the medicines like colchicine or anti-inflammatory drugs that have been used over the years include Indocin, which is really effective. Those just stop the attack. Those don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the allopurinol is a very old drug. It was intended to fix it by lowering the uric acid production. So the body makes less uric acid. The uric acid level goes down, and you should not have any more attacks. The problem is that it turns out that recent information is that most patients that take allopurinol probably don't get controlled. So if it allopurinol helps, but it doesn't bring your uric acid down low enough, then the attacks continue. So many, many people come to us and say, yeah, I've taken allopurinol, it doesn't work. And they probably are right. We used to think that they just weren't taking their medicine, but it's more likely that they're one of those unlucky ones that it just doesn't work. The newer medicine is about twice as effective as the allopurinol as far as the number of patients that benefit. And if your uric acid stays below 6, which is the magic number, then the attacks stop. All the deposits around the elbows and the feet stop. And the permanent damage will stop, too. So that it's a new medicine, but it's very effective.
Mm. What's the thinking about diet and gout? Is there a relationship? Is there a relationship in some people, not others? Is there no relationship?
There is a relationship. However, there's just a huge amount of
variability,
stories and myths, starting back from the days of the kings in England and France. And it was very well known that if you drank too much alcohol or you had foods that were high in uric acids like lobster and meat, that it would cause uric gout. And in England, a cookbook from 1500 told people that if you're really going to entertain properly, this is how you do it. And every meal had 5 or 6 meat dishes. So their uric acid intake was very high.
I was going to say that's how they measured the success of the dinner, how many people developed gout.
It could be.
Gouty attack.
The U.S. diet isn't that high in uric acid, so it's probably more genetic. But what's really interesting is if you can get your uric acid below 6, then the diet doesn't matter anymore. Mm. And we see people all the time that after a great football weekend, they come in with an episode of gout and they feel guilty that they drank too much. But the truth is, if the uric acid is below 6 for a few months, then the diet, including alcohol, whatever foods you want, just isn't a factor anymore.
So the key is getting the uric acid levels low, below 6. And if you can do that, then it doesn't matter how much you consume of foods like the meats, beans, gravy, certain fishes. And I'm just reading from an article in actually the Parade magazine earlier in the year. Fishes like anchovies, herring, mackerel, sardines, liver, mushrooms, and so forth, if you can keep the levels low.
It's interesting that the thinking is that if your gout is triggered off by alcohol or foods, then the thinking is probably it's still a little bit too high and it wasn't below 6. Now, the problem is many laboratory normal values are well above 6. And in fact, one study recently showed the average uric acid of someone who's taking allopurinol who has a gout attack is about 7.2, which would be normal in many labs. So if you really have gout, get it below 6, and the odds are very high that the gout will go away.
And now the other point I'd like to address is the alcohol. Is it because of the dehydration effect on the body, which leads to a concentration of the uric acid?
A lot of alcohol at one time in a short period of time. So party weekends, and that's why I gave the example of the football weekends because they're so common. But if you have a high level of uric acid in your blood, it temporarily makes the body excrete less uric acid, so the uric acid goes up. Well, if you're already borderline, it can trigger it off. But if you were at a level of below 6, then it's not enough to trigger off an attack.
And if you're dehydrated, also increases risk for attack.
Absolutely. If you get dehydrated, it would tend to aggravate it.
Shono.
How can you test yourself for levels? I mean, you'd have to go to a doctor to do that. I mean, and the other thing is, I'm not a drinker. I do not drink. Trust me. I don't even touch a beer.
Exactly.
So, I can understand about the drinking, but I think it's just the foods that I've been eating. And I know when one's coming up because I get a tingling feeling. And right away, I know, hey, I'm going to have an attack. Now, I shouldn't be doing this, but I take the allopurinol. And I guess we're going to get to the question of how dangerous it affects after taking allopurinol for a long, long time, what effects it has on the body.
The way you describe that tingling is just so typical. And people who have attacks for a few times can really tell when they come on. And that's probably the most common that I've heard is, you know, that's what it is. And that's when it's treated best. Actually, the earlier, the better, as you know.
I'd like to go to Sonia for a moment here. Sonia, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Hello. What an awesome topic. I am just so intrigued and so glad that this was your topic for today, because I am dealing with someone close to me that is experiencing this right now in the foot. And I have a quick question. Can the symptoms in a woman for the gout, if not diagnosed properly via testing, can it resemble another type of symptom that could possibly, if not caught soon enough, could it lead to amputation or people going to dialysis for their kidneys? And is, you were saying that it is, could be hereditary, but is there home remedies that could alleviate some of the swelling, like Epsom salt, if it's in the foot? And one more quick question, I'm going to listen. Is there any other area on the body that the gout could flame up or have the symptoms that, i.e., maybe in the back of the neck, or having a lot of muscle spasms in your back or anything? Are there any other areas besides the foot that this symptom could show where it's head at? And I'll hang up and listen. What an excellent topic today. Thank you.
Thank you, Sonia. Well, other diagnoses, which can lead to amputation or other types of problems, mistreatments.
Well, remember that gout is, what we're talking about is arthritis. So if you have pain and swelling and stiffness in a joint, it's important to make sure it is gout, because there are other things. One of the most common confusing issues is rheumatoid arthritis, which is a really serious arthritis that can cause crippling. Or those who have psoriasis can have an arthritis that looks like this. So it is important to make an accurate diagnosis.
And the other thing, too, even certain types of sexually transmitted diseases can lead to sickle joint arthritis, a severe inflammatory reaction.
Exactly. So it's important to get a proper diagnosis, although after you've had a few attacks and they're very typical, then you can feel comfortable with your physician's diagnosis, of course, that the gout is the major problem. But it can affect almost any joint, even the hip, even the lower back and the sacroiliac joint. Those are very uncommon, but typically it's the toe, the foot, the ankle, the knee, the wrist, a finger, an elbow. It can affect any joint, especially as it happens over and over again. The number of joints can pick up. There can be more than one joint involved, and there can be crippling that looks exactly like rheumatoid arthritis. In fact, again, 400 years ago, it was thought there were two types of arthritis, the gout and rheumatoid arthritis, and there weren't any other types of arthritis. Now we know there's about 100.
And so to address another one of Sonia's questions, it can affect ultimately the spine?
It is very uncommon, but indirectly, especially, it could. If the spine is involved, we want to look very thoroughly for other types of arthritis, like osteoarthritis or other inflammatory types of arthritis, just to be sure the treatment is complete and thorough for each type caused. The mention of amputation is real, and sometimes, especially when gout involves a toe, it can become so chronic and advanced that the toe gets infected and eventually gets amputated as a result of it, although the basic problem was the gout.
So a misdiagnosis can lead to a secondary infection and ultimate amputation in that scenario.
Not really just misdiagnosis, but the complication of having it go on and on and on.
Mm. And the notion of a secondary muscular spasm in the area of the arthritis.
That absolutely can occur in any kind of arthritis with the muscle and tendons and ligaments around the joint get painful and swollen. The good thing about gout is when it gets treated, it usually is pretty quickly responsive. Would you agree?
Yeah, it about 3 days with the medication I was on, about that, it did go away.
Let's do this. I want to address Sonia's last question, take a quick break, and come back and focus on therapies. Sonia asked about home remedies. Anything with that?
Well, that's interesting. Again, there's a huge amount of history of remedies of gout, including diet. The things that are anti-inflammatory you can use in your diet are dark cherries. Dark berries tend to have an anti-inflammatory effect. For those that have specific foods that trigger it off, then you avoid those. We think that another way is just to get the uric acid controlled, but that does take some feedback from your physician and measuring the uric acid in the blood.
And I did eat a lot of dark cherries and grapes.
How about vitamin C, Harris? Vitamin C, any impact on that?
It tends to be anti-inflammatory, so it would have some positive response.
Okay. We'll be right back with more on gout on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We'll be focusing on treatments. Be right back.
Focus on Females.
We've seen it all over Europe. Greece, Spain, Italy. Countries swimming in debt, living on the brink of financial disaster, caused by runaway government spending they couldn't sustain. Think it couldn't happen here in America? It is happening right now. In California, Illinois, Nevada, three states just steps away from a fiscal crisis. Washington's out-of-control spending is hurting the economy and isn't creating jobs. And Washington is still on a spending spree. They've run up $13 trillion in debt, a debt nearly the size of our entire economy. But there is a solution. Bankruptingamerica.org. Together.
Town Hall Magazine is so good, some of radio's biggest stars can't keep their hands on it.
Bill Bennett here. Where's my copy of Town Hall Magazine, please?
Mike Gallagher here. I wish Town Hall Magazine wasn't so darn good. It keeps disappearing from my studio.
Michael Medved here. Anybody here seen my Town Hall Magazine?
Dennis Prager here, and my producer, Alan, keeps swiping my Town Hall Magazine.
Hugh Hewitt here. Where is my Town Hall Magazine, guys?
Why not order an extra? Hide it away for yourself.
Go to townhallmagazine.com.
Townhallmagazine.com. Order it now.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Their mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit FocusOnFemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702. Thank you.
For the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. He has written a best-selling, award-winning book, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome, published by Yale University Press. Dr. Maskin manages dry eye disorders using, when needed, innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has successfully managed difficult dry eye cases for over 20 years and is board-certified, fellowship-trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and American Academy of Ophthalmology. He has been selected a Best Doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2010. And as an America's Top Ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America, we hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please visit drmaskin.com. And if you have not found relief for your painful red, dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Focus.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Today's topic is gout, and I just want to mention that those patients out there with gout or who know someone with gout, not only does it affect the joints, but it can affect the eyes as well with diseases such as episcleritis and scleritis, which can be very painful as well, leading to redness and altered vision. Now, coming back to gouty arthritis, we talked about uric acid. We talked about the diagnosis, the signs and the symptoms. We talked about risk factors. Let's hone in on the treatments. Now, you mentioned right before the break, Harris, that taking supplements such as vitamin C, dark cherries, dark berries may, through its anti-inflammatory effect, reduce the severity or frequency of gout. Perhaps not. When changing the diet or taking these supplements don't work, then we turn to therapies. You mentioned the long-standing treatments, the conventional treatments of allopurinol and colchicine. You mentioned allopurinol was thought to reduce uric acid levels in the body, but it seems that it really doesn't have the effect that we thought it had as far as the level of reduction or the amount of reduction of uric acid. Can you discuss colchicine, the other standby treatment, as well as the new treatment?
Right. Allopurinol has been the most common treatment to fix the problem, and it makes the body produce less uric acid. The uric acid level goes down, and then the gout should go away. And what rheumatologists have found over the years is that many people say they're taking the allopurinol, but they still have gout. And many rheumatologists would just sort of snicker and say, yeah, they aren't taking their medicine. But the information now that wasn't available before is that probably about 36% of patients who take gout, who take allopurinol for gout, get controlled, which means they get their uric acid below 6. And this is all kind of new information. If you get it below 6, then the odds are very high you're going to stop the gout attack and the deposits of gout around the joints will go away. Since many people who take allopurinol don't get better, one of the new options is called Uloric. And Uloric is a drug that is different enough from allopurinol that it has about a 76% or more chance of getting the uric acid below 6. And if you get the uric acid below 6, then you're likely not to have gout again. So that's been a really nice improvement. It's only been out for a year or so, but it's made many people who had no control of gout suddenly get good control. Mm. Now, colchicine is a very old drug. It's a very effective drug, but it's used to stop the acute attack. And the history of colchicine is that it used to be given one tablet every hour until the gout attack went away. The trouble is almost everyone that does that gets nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, so it has a really bad reputation. There's some newer ways to take colchicine that have a much lower chance of side effect, and there's a new type of colchicine called Colchris, which actually is used as well. And these drugs stop the acute attack, and then you later add the Uloric or allopurinol, and that fixes the problem by lowering the uric acid in the blood. Mm-hmm. So two medicines are used, one to stop the attack, which could be colchicine or indomethacin or cortisone injection or cortisone pill or any of the other anti-inflammatory drugs, and you take that until the attack goes away. Then you start the Uloric or allopurinol along with one or two colchicine tablets a day for a few months, and then in a few months the uric acid is controlled. You stop all the medicines except the Uloric or allopurinol, and you really shouldn't have gout again ever.
And so the Uloric is once a day.
Correct. It's a tablet. You take it once a day, and within 2 weeks, it usually brings the uric acid below 6.
And so that's twice as effective, seemingly, as the allopurinol.
Statistically, in the clinical trials, that's just about what it was.
And again, I want to make a point here, and that is this number of 6 on the laboratory value of the serology values of uric acid. As you point out earlier, even though a laboratory's range of normals may be 7, it's for the patient with gout, that's not low enough.
Correct. The gout needs to be below 6 to make all the deposits in the body dissolve and go away. And that's why it takes a few months for that to happen. If you can imagine uric acid having been elevated for years in your body, there are deposits around the joints. That's why you have gout attacks of arthritis. And so as the uric acid in the blood goes down, the body starts mobilizing those deposits, and it takes a few months for those to go away. In the clinical trials that we did with gout, over the period of the trial, which actually lasted up to 4 years, almost every single patient who had deposits of uric acid around their joints that caused lumps and bumps had those go away completely.
So the key is, if you're a patient and you're listening to this show today and you have an inflamed joint, and you're being evaluated, what could this be, or you're just considering what this could be, and you've had blood tests done which shows a uric acid in a normal range, which, as we just mentioned, for laboratories may be in the 7 category, that is not good enough for you. In other words, you may have gout, in which case a range of uric acid within normal for that laboratory is simply not good enough. That range of value is for a population of patients without gout. And so for gouty patients, the range of normal or adequate levels of uric acid is below 6. And that's sounds to me like a very important point to make, take-home message. Would you agree, Harris?
Exactly. The best thing to do is talk with your physician or healthcare provider. First, make sure it's gout. They can properly document that. And then if it is gout, you need to try to get your uric acid below 6, or you're still liable to have attacks.
Now, Shono has left us for the moment, and we thank him for his participation. But there was one point that he had I'd like to address, and that is side effects of some of the therapies, the allopurinol, the colchicine, and the Uloric. If you could address the long-term side effects of some of these treatments.
Sure. The allopurinol is most commonly pretty well tolerated. We check blood counts for liver tests, kidney tests. Occasionally, sometimes you can get a rash, and if you get a rash with allopurinol, it could be very serious, so you should make note of that and stop the allopurinol until you talk with your physician. In fact, as with any medication, if you feel like you're having a problem with it, call your physician, and if you can't reach them, stop it until you talk with them if you think it may be a severe effect. Otherwise, the blood tests are done routinely for two reasons. One is to make sure that the uric acid gets controlled at the proper levels below 6, and secondly, to check for the kidney test, the liver test, and to check for anemia and other problems. The Uloric is similar and has roughly the same chance of having an elevated liver test, usually 2-3% of patients with both allopurinol or Uloric have that chance. So it's low, but it's important to follow it. For colchicine, the most common side effects are those just related to taking the dose, a heavy dose. A very low dose, like 1 or 2 tablets a day, which is used to prevent the attacks for a few months once you start treatment, are usually very well tolerated. If it's given as an IV injection, then it can cause some problems with the bone marrow, and that's not considered something we would want to do now.
How frequently should one get their kidney, liver test done, the CBC to check for anemia, as well as following up the uric acids while on Uloric or allopurinol?
Well, when you take Uloric, the uric acid usually is controlled within about 2 weeks, so that's a convenient time to also check the kidney and the liver test. On regular treatment, every 3 to 6 months is a really common interval to check for the liver test and kidney test. But that's something that can be individualized by when you talk with your healthcare practitioner.
All right, and the all right, sounds good. And by the way, again, we had a caller earlier today, Sonia, who asked some very good questions. We encourage everyone else listening today to call in with questions. Our phone number here is 289-1860, 289-1860. That's in Hillsborough County. Everywhere else, it's toll-free, 877-969-8600, 877-969-8600. Do you think that Euloric will ultimately replace the allopurinol completely in as far as oral therapy for this, or is there, will there still be a indication to use the allopurinol?
Both drugs are very useful. The only interesting fact we've found out about allopurinol just in the past couple years is that it did not control the uric acid to a good enough level for many patients, whereas we used to think that it must be universally effective. What we found is that 36 to 40% of patients get controlled, so many patients don't get controlled, which means if you're taking allopurinol and you have a gout attack, then you may be one of those that just needs to use a different medication.
Can one get further lowering of the level of uric acid by using the both? In other words, do they work by, well, let's back up. Do they work by the same mechanism of action or different mechanisms of action, although I know they both lead to reduced levels of uric acid?
They both reduce the production of uric acid, so we don't use them in combination, mostly because if one is working, you don't need the other one.
But if one is not working completely, it's not felt we get any additional lowering of the uric acid by using the both.
Currently, with if allopurinol is not working, and allopurinol is great if it's effectively controlling the gout, if you monitor the blood tests and the kidney tests are okay. If it's not lowering the gout, the uric acid enough to stop gout, then the Euloric is a great choice. One of the problems with allopurinol is that if you happen to have less than normal kidney function, you may have to lower the dose of allopurinol. So if you can't take the fully recommended dose of allopurinol, then you have an even lower chance of getting the uric acid controlled. So that's one of the reasons that your physician will monitor the blood test for the kidney and the liver. Euloric does not have to be monitored as closely for kidney function. So people who have less than normal kidney function can often still take Euloric, get control of the gout.
So you have a new case of gout coming in tomorrow to your office. What do you put them on, the Euloric or the allopurinol?
Both are available. The allopurinol is great, especially if you have normal kidney function and if it works. It's generic, it's old, it's been around for 50 years, so it's fine to use if it works. Now, if the kidney tests are not normal, which means the kidneys are not working 100% normal, or if you take allopurinol and the uric acid doesn't get below 6, or if you take allopurinol and you still have gout attacks, then the Euloric is a really good choice.
Mm-hmm. All right, so in allopurinol's favor is the long experience with it, and it's probably less expensive, I imagine.
Right, allopurinol is a generic drug. It's great, and if it works, no problem. If it doesn't work, or if you have your kidney tests are not completely mm-hmm. normal, then Euloric is a very good alternative.
And Euloric is spelled U-L-O-R-I-C, if listeners want to look that up. Okay, and we're going to take a quick break and come back with more. Again, we encourage you to call in with questions, 289-1860 in Hillsborough County. Elsewhere, toll-free, 877-969-8600. Be right back.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. In this very important election year, where can you go to get fresh, intelligent, conservative reporting on the issues and the candidates? Whether it's the economy, the Supreme Court, or immigration, Town Hall Magazine is loaded with stories and insights you can't get anywhere else. And with your subscription, you can choose your own free gift book. Choose from Dick Morris's Take Back America, Karl Rove's Courage and Consequence, Michelle Malkin's latest book, and more. Pick your free gift book when you subscribe to Town Hall Magazine. Must reading for conservatives. Log on to townhallmagazine.com today. That's townhallmagazine.com.
even though the Obama administration says
we are getting and gaining control of that southwestern border.
Our border's getting more dangerous.
Things are going from bad to worse.
But will the White House send help to the border states?
We got to get it more secure at the borders, and we got to go and have more manpower.
Now, more than ever, it's time for boots on the ground on our borders.
It's time that we get more boots on the ground.
Talk Radio 860. WGUL.
Midterm elections are close. Our future hangs in the balance. It's time to reclaim America. Get tickets now for Reclaiming America, the tour to take back Congress, presented by Poor Richardson's Almanac and Republic Monetary Exchange, Thursday evening, September 30th at the Straz Center in Tampa, featuring in-person former Reagan cabinet member and Morning in America host Bill Bennett with Mike Gallagher in a live forum on the political battle that could make or break our country for years to come. Reclaiming America, the tour to take back Congress, Thursday evening, September 30th at the Straz Center in Tampa. General admission is $20. Get exclusive VIP tickets at $75. And prior to the program, meet Bill Bennett and Mike Gallagher personally while enjoying heavy hors d'oeuvres and a complimentary Padron No. 45 cigar. Reclaiming America, the tour to take back Congress. Tickets are going fast at 860WGUL.com.
Sponsored in part by the Hillsborough County Republican Party.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Their mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit FocusOnFemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702. Thank you.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsborough, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back. We are tackling gout and gouty arthritis, and also kidney disease, which brings up the question, these elevated levels of uric acid, which cause gouty arthritis, what percentage of patients also have kidney stones or kidney disease?
Well, that's right. If the uric acid stays elevated, then there are a few things can happen. One is those attacks of gout, which used to happen once every few years and go away on their own, become more frequent. They last a little bit longer, and eventually they get close enough together that you're most of the time having an attack. At this point, it's very common on x-ray today to see areas of destruction of the bone and the joint because of the uric acid crystals. So those changes are permanent. You can't reverse those. Those are most common in the feet, but they can happen in the hands. And you may well have seen pictures of people who have really severe arthritis that looks a lot like rheumatoid arthritis. We see people who've had severe gout for many years. They have many deformities in the hands and the feet. So there is some consequence of not controlling the uric acid. Not to use frightening tactics, but the point is it's really treatable. And if you control the uric acid, then you're going to prevent long-term complications. Now, as I said earlier, the uric acid likes to collect around joints as well as in the kidney. In the kidney, it forms stones, and kidney stones can be caused by many things, but uric acid is one of them that's very treatable. So if you have kidney stones and they are analyzed, or your physician can tell you that they believe that the uric acid is a cause, then the same medicines that are used for gout are used to treat kidney stone. Because when you think about it, if you lower the production of uric acid, there's less uric acid in the blood. Therefore, it's likely that the kidney stone problem will be improved. Everyone's different, so you need to talk with your physician to be sure that's true in your case. But that's the treatment for that.
Do you know, with patients with elevated uric acid levels, are they more likely to present to their doctors with kidney stones or with a swollen joint?
More commonly, it's the swollen joint. And the uric acid level may not be as high as we think. It's really a big point, as you mentioned earlier, that the average uric acid level is around 7.2 to 7.4 of a person who has a gout attack and is also already taking the treatment, which is allopurinol. So just looking at the uric acid level superficially may not be the answer. If your uric acid is elevated, you've had gout, take the medicine, and you really shouldn't have gout again.
It's interesting. Obviously, those patients that have stones, let's say you had a kidney stone pass, you didn't collect the stone for analysis, those patients probably ought to get when they get their lab workup, include uric acid levels, and they have to be mindful that a normal uric acid, in that case, it may not rule out that that was a uric acid stone.
That's correct. Because it's so treatable, you would want to go a little bit extra effort to try to decide that. Many kinds of kidney stones really don't have a specific treatment as far as medication, but that definitely does, and you would not want to miss that one.
So was there anything else a patient can do if they passed a stone, they didn't capture it for analysis to determine if it was a uric acid stone?
Yes, you can talk with your physician, because tests can be done to see if there are any other stones in the kidneys already. Measurements of uric acid in the urine can be made, and other tests are available to help decide what the specific cause of the stone is.
Excellent. Okay, we're wrapping up today's show. Harris, would you like to share an overarching take-home message with our listeners in regard to gout?
I think the most important thing for everyone to remember is that gout is very treatable, and it's the one kind of arthritis that we believe you don't have to have. It requires the specific diagnosis, which your physician can do, and specific treatment, which is simple and easy to follow now.
And as you said, ultimately it can lead to severe deformities and joint destruction with immobility.
Absolutely. It can cause a destructive arthritis, and those changes are not reversible.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Harris. And on next week's show, we'll be tackling hemochromatosis. That's hemochromatosis next Sunday. That's September the 5th. And the following Sunday, we're going to be tackling the topic of pediatric cardiology, kids with murmurs, chest pains, and, quote, holes in the heart. That's September 12th. Those are the next two shows. In the meantime, this is Dr. Stephen Maskin wishing each and every one of you a happy and healthy week, and we'll speak with you next Sunday on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Bye-bye.
Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. In this very important election year, where can you go to get fresh, intelligent, conservative reporting on the issues and the candidates? Whether it's the economy, the Supreme Court, or...